Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise in the house? How many of y'all know there's joy in the house of the Lord? Psalms 122 says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It is awesome to be in God's house today. You know what? You could have chose any place to be on spring break, but you chose to come to God's house. And so I thank you so much for being faithful to church and to God. And it just means a lot to this pastor. Thank y'all, everyone who gave today. And I know that there's a little place set up out front. I love my church. I'm bad at the formalities. I'm terrible at the formal things. Y'all know me. I'm just I am who I am. What you see is what you get. I hate to even say this, probably backwood country boy from the middle of nowhere. God just saw fit to raise me up, call me out, and I am who I am today by the grace of God. And so I'm terrible at the formalities, but I just want you to know I love you. I believe, one of the best churches around. I love our church family. I believe what we have here is very special. And I'm not just saying that, I am a little biased because I pastored this church, amen. But at the same time, I do believe that what God is doing here is special. I echo what Pastor Rod said. Give it up for Pastor Rod today. Moderating the service in Pastor Brandon's absence. And it's just great to be in God's house. Y'all ready for Holy Spirit part two? I'm going to set this up. I got a little introduction. Last week, I'll just do a little bit of quick review. Last week, Holy Spirit part one, we talked about how he's our helper and how we are to develop and engage a relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is really my heart for the first part of this series, is to debunk some misconceptions about who the Holy Spirit is and his roles and his functions in the church, because the Holy Spirit is not a lesser person in the Trinity. He's not a second class person of the Trinity. If you believe in God the Father, you believe in God the Son, we also believe in God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son, right? And so he is essential. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is how God chooses to communicate and work through the church in the day and hour which we live in. It's the Holy Spirit that resides in us. It's the Holy Spirit that moves among us. It's the Holy Spirit that performs miracles and signs and wonders among the... how many of y'all believe in miracles, signs, and wonders? I believe that God is still a God of miracles. That the Holy Spirit's still moving and operating in the church today. And I told you last week that he convinces us, or he convicts us. The Bible says convicts, but that word convicts means convinces. He convinces us of three things. He convinces us, number one, of sin, because we all need a Savior. We're all born into sin. We all need a Savior. So the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus to repent from sin, to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Number two, he convinces us of righteousness, of our right standing in Christ Jesus. Because so many times after we're saved, what does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to tell you, no, you're not saved. No, God is not real. The work that God did in your life, that was just a bunch of made up hogwash that the preacher just made up. And the enemy wants to convince you that everything that God has done in your life is a lie. But the Holy Spirit, the enemy wants to convince us of that, but the Holy Spirit convinces us of our righteousness, our right standing in Christ Jesus. And number three, he convinces us of judgment. The Bible says because the ruler of this world, meaning the devil, Satan, has already been judged. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against evil rulers, principalities, all of that. But I want you to know the enemy's fate has already been sealed. I've read the back of this book. Come on, somebody. And I know that even though he prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour, the Holy Spirit convinces me, greater is he who is within me than he that is of this world. And I have authority over Satan in the power of the Holy Spirit who resides inside of me. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does in the church today. I'm going to take it a step further today, okay? How many of y'all know that the word it is probably one of the most common words used in the English language, right? It's used so many different, it's actually a part of my favorite phrases, if you will. How many of y'all ever say it is what it is? It's probably one of my favorite and least favorite phrases. Sometimes, it is what it is. When you got it, you got it, right? When you got it, you got it. I don't know. What is it? I don't know. But when you got it, you got it, right? But how many of y'all know, even though the word it is appropriate in all of those settings, the word it is really not appropriate when referring to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not an it. This kind of language reveals a mindset that the Holy Spirit isn't a person, but some sort of impersonal force. Pastor, why is this important? Why does this even matter? I tell you why it matters, because there's complete and total doctrines and theologies that is built around the Holy Spirit being an impersonal force that is not the third person of the Trinity. So therefore, we do not engage or develop a relationship with this impersonal force. But I want you to understand, we develop relationships, personal relationships with persons. And we have to understand the Holy Spirit in his personhood, because he is the third person of the Trinity. And so I want us to open our Bibles to Ephesians, and I want us to look at verses 14 through 21 as our main text today. And something that we do at Forward Church is we honor the reading of God's word by standing. And if you're new to Forward, this is not anything weird. We just want to honor God's word, and I'll make a deal with you. If you'll stand for the next couple of moments while I read this scripture, you can sit the rest of the service and I'll remain standing. Is that a deal? Okay, praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to pick up with verse 14, and it says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And verse 20 is actually where we're going to be focusing in on today. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," notice this phrase, "according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Today we're going to dive a little deeper into the series we've simply titled Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? God, I love you. And I praise you for this word. I just ask, God, as cliche as this may sound, God, I want you to hide me behind your cross. I don't want anybody to really see me or hear me, but I want them to see you and hear you through me today, God. Lord, let this not be a demonstration of man or man-made wisdom, but let this be a demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Let these words, God, that come out of my mouth today, let them pierce the hearts of this congregation, that we would not just be hearers of your word. Don't let it just go in one ear and out the other, but let us be doers of your word. Lord, let spiritual fruit be produced, God. And I pray this prayer every single Sunday, God, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I don't want a single one of us to leave this place the same way we walked in. And I'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Fist bump 2 or 3 people and let them know how awesome it is to have them in church today. Let me tell you something. I'm going to start off by saying this. More than likely, the reason why so many people have a problem referring to the Holy Spirit as an it is because of his name. Think about this, and I'm going to lay this foundation, and I'm getting somewhere, but just allow me to lay this foundation today. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching up front, if that's okay. But the Holy Spirit, I want to ask, is the Holy Spirit, or is Holy Spirit his name, or is it his role? Think about that. Holy Spirit, to me, is more of his title or his role. Like God the Father, God the Son, you have the name and you have the title or the role or the function that they play or they have in the Trinity. You also have God, the Holy Spirit. You have his name, who he is, and you have his role. You have his title in the Trinity. And some of the misunderstanding comes from the terms Father and Son, naturally, because we think of Father and Son as persons, right? But the term Spirit doesn't make us automatically think of person or personhood. But if you want to have a real relationship with the Holy Spirit, we must get rid of misunderstandings and start seeing God, the Holy Spirit, in his personhood. And here's why this is important. I need to ask you a question. What constitutes a person? What constitutes personhood? I know this is teaching up front, and y'all are looking at me like blank faces. We're going somewhere, but I just got to get past this teaching. What constitutes a person? Is it life? No, not really. Not life, because a tree has life, right? But is a tree a person? You don't have a personal relationship with a tree, do you? Well, never mind. We're not going there today. Something just dropped in my mind, but I was like, nah, we're not going there. Normal people, let's just say this, don't develop personal relationship with trees these days, because a tree is not a person, right? So what constitutes a person? I'll tell you what constitutes a person, a personality. Someone who has a personality. What is a personality? A personality is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. That's your innermost being. Simply put, a person is a being with a personality. And really, a person's personality is made up of the mind, the will, the emotions. And we see throughout Scripture, all throughout Scripture, clearly how God has a mind, a will, and emotions. God thinks thoughts. He has a will. God is we see how God sometimes burned with anger throughout Scripture. We see how God is joy. We see how God, in different situations, he's got different emotions. As a matter of fact, we are created in the image of God, right? We have a mind, we have a will, we have emotions. Just like God has a mind, a will, and you are made in the image of God with mind, will, and emotions. But I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit also has a mind, a will, and emotions. And as Christians, get this. This is what's so awesome, and this is where it starts getting good. As Christians, we have someone living within us who is inside of us and with us who is God, and he has the mind of God, knows the will of God, and he knows the feelings or emotions of God. So in other words, he resides within us because he wants us, he really wants to help us think like God thinks, desire what God desires, and feel what God feels. And so many times in life, I think we would do good to pray, God, help me think like you think. God, help me desire what you desire. And God, let me feel what you feel. God, break my heart. There's a song that Hillsong used to sing. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. So many times I feel like in the flesh, we don't think like God thinks. We don't desire what God desires, and we don't feel what Paul said, that we must crucify our flesh daily. And when we crucify our flesh, we're tearing down the flesh, but we're building up the inner man, the spirit within us, the Holy Spirit. And that's when we put on, the Bible says, we put on the mind of Christ. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, so when we start developing and engaging a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's actually we become more like God. We become more godly. There's a term that we don't use a lot today, right? So as a person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit possesses all the attributes that God has. If God has God, the Holy Spirit, if God the Father has attributes, God the Holy Spirit has these same attributes. And here's the list of attributes is really long, but I'm going to look at three of these today. And this is what I'm going to get into. Number one, he's omniscient. He's omniscient. I know that's a big word or a church term or a church word. But in other words, God is all-knowing. That's exactly what omniscient means. So omniscient comes from two words, omni meaning all, and science, which comes from a Latin word meaning knowledge. So simply put, God knows everything there is to know, everything that can be known, past, present, future. That's why all of these things that people are debating today,
really don't intimidate me. I may not understand them all, but I know the one who does know them all. And the one who does know them all lives on the inside of me. As a matter of fact, he created all the knowledge in the universe. It ain't like we're blindsiding an omniscient God who's all-knowing. He created the knowledge. He created everything. He created science. Follow this. Never mind. And we try to make it these political things today, but God created it. God created all of these, all of this knowledge. Simply put, God knows everything there is to know, everything that can be known. As hard as it is, let's try to wrap our minds around this today. Psalms 24:7 teaches us that God not only knows how many stars there are, but he also has a name for each one of them. Praise God. Psalms 33, we learn that God has the capacity to see and know every person on the face of the earth all at the same time. That's why, funny story, real quick. Y'all ready for this? Comedic relief. I know that people operate differently. Different even denominations operate differently. But it blows my mind when people think that only one person can pray at one time. It really does. It blows. Now, I know sometimes you want somebody leading a prayer, right? But I've been in circumstances and situations before where it's like, hey, so-and-so is going to lead us in the prayer today, and everybody else is just like, oh, well, I can't pray because that person's praying. It's almost like this thought, like, God can't hear all of our prayers at one time. How crazy is that? Because obviously nobody else on the face of the earth is praying at the same time you're praying, right? We're the only people having church today. No, God can hear every single prayer at the same time. God knows every single person on the face of the earth all at the same time. Not only that, this is going to be a little bit more humorous to you. His knowledge of each of us is so intimate that Matthew 10 teaches us that he even knows the numbers of what? The hairs on our head or the lack thereof, like I always say. I have them. I just shave them off. Some of them. I have that grandpa horseshoe going on in the back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But think about this. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit today. And I'm easing you into this. Now, the early service, the Holy Spirit just decided I'm not easing them into it. I'm just going to throw them off the deep end. And we had an old-fashioned prayer tunnel in the early service today. But think about this. God also knows our innermost thoughts and our hearts and our minds. God knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you're thinking even before you think it. Nothing is hidden from God. He's omniscient. That's the God. I'm just trying to get somebody to get a little glimpse in their mind. In our finite mind, we can't comprehend an infinite not God. I know that, but that's how awesome of a God we serve. He is all-knowing. He knows your past. He knows your present, and I'm fixing to get to this. He knows your future, and yet he still loves you enough to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. All of this is true about God, the Holy Spirit. Number two, he's omnipotent. Omnipotent. God is all-powerful. Nothing's too hard for God. I sought the Lord. He heard and he answered. And that's why I trust him. He's answered my prayers. He's come through for me time and time again. I've seen him heal the sick. I've seen him deliver the bound. I've seen him do all these. You have come too late to tell me that God is not omnipotent. You've come too late to tell me that my God is not powerful. You've come too late to tell me that my God is incapable of doing exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or think. You've come too late because I've witnessed it. I've seen it in my own life. Nothing's too hard from God. Whatever he purposes to do, he does. His purpose is complete. Whatever he wants done, gets done. Thank you for helping me preach. Somebody is in this with me this morning. Now look at verse 20 of our main text. Look at this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So think about this. The Apostle Paul right here speaking specifically of God, the Holy Spirit in this text. Because who is the power working in us? It's the Holy Spirit. So look at all the important truths right here, jam-packed into this one scripture, into this one verse right here. All of the important truths about God's power and sovereignty revealed in this one verse. Number one, he's able to do or work because he's neither idle, nor inactive, nor dead. We don't serve a God who's idle. We don't serve a God who's inactive. And we don't serve a dead God. As a matter of fact, we serve a God who is alive, well, and he's still on the move. He's still moving and operating on the face of this earth today. The work of the Holy Spirit did not end when the apostles died out. The work of the Holy Spirit continues on the face of the earth today in and through the church. Who is the church? The believers in Christ Jesus, the bride of Christ. And the Holy Spirit lives on the side of you, inside of you. And the Holy Spirit has the power to do exceedingly great things because he's alive and well. And he still has a function on the face of the earth. He's able to do what we ask because he hears and answers our prayers. In his personhood, he hears us. He is not an impersonal force. An impersonal force does not hear your prayers. An impersonal force does not engage in a personal relationship with you. An impersonal force has nothing to care about what you have to say. But the God who lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, the power working on the inside of us, actually hears your prayers and answers your prayers. Think about that. And so, not only that, he's able to do more than we ask or think. More than means hyper or beyond, because here's the thing, his expectations for you are higher than your expectations for you. God's plan and purpose for your life, and I want to tell somebody this here today, young people, middle-aged people, and seasoned people alike. God's plan and purpose for your life, as long as there's breath in your lungs, you've got a purpose, come on. As long as you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. And his purpose and plan for your life goes beyond and is higher and exceeds your own dreams, your own plan, and your own purpose for your life. He's able to do more than, hyper, above anything that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. That's the thoughts that he thinks toward, because he has a mind. He thinks the thoughts that I think, the thoughts that I have. Number four, he's able to do much more or abundantly, even far more abundantly, because he's the God of superabundance. I'm talking specifically about his omnipotence. He is able to accomplish more than, even far more abundantly, because he is the God of superabundance. My God is not a God of lack. And the enemy would have you to think this morning that our God is just this God in that is constrained by our own little imaginary picture of who we think he is. My God is not constrained by who I think he is. My God is omnipotent, meaning he is able to do more than I can think more than I even think he can do. So when I am at my weakest, then I am strong, because no longer is it for me, no longer is it about me. It's not about what I can or can't do, but it's about what the one who lives inside of me can do through me, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So here's the thing. Anything is possible through the Holy Spirit. If you will develop and engage a personal relationship, that's what my whole desire for this series is, to get somebody out of the stigma of thinking that the Holy Spirit is just the weird uncle of the Trinity. The weird, because there's been too many nutcases, let's just call them what they are. There's a bad apple in every bunch, right? There's been too many nutcases over the years that's done crazy things in the name of the Holy Spirit and blamed it on the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it. And what I'm trying to do is break down the stigma of the Holy Spirit in the church world today. Because the Holy Spirit, weird people were weird before the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you, can we just say that? Weird, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. You would never mind. I need to go on. It is what it is.
Note that Paul says this ability and power works in us. So the source of this power is God the Holy Spirit. Our best friend is omnipotent. Our best friend is omnipotent. The one who lives inside of us is all powerful. Man, that ought to get you, if that don't crank your tractor, then your fuel's wet. If that doesn't light your fire, then your wood's wet. Come on, somebody. Because the one who lives inside of us is omnipotent. I have one who is all powerful, living on the inside of me, who is able to do more than I could even imagine. And my best thought on my best day is nothing compared to what God is able to accomplish. That gets me excited. Last but not least, this is really where it gets personal. He's omnipresent. Praise God. Siri's going to help me preach this message today. What does omnipresent mean? God is simultaneously everywhere. I know this is a little bit more teaching, but I'm trying to teach a little. I'm trying to preach a little bit. Because we need to, the Bible that I read says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And we need to know who the Holy Spirit is. So God is simultaneously everywhere. The Holy Spirit is simultaneously everywhere. No matter where you go, the God who loves you is already present. No matter where you go, the psalmist said it this way, if I make my bed in the pits of hell, he's there. No matter where I go, if I ascend into the heaven, you're there. There nowhere can you go to escape the presence of God. So here's the thing. No matter where you go, God is already there. In addition to all this, now this is really where it gets good. In addition to all this, God's omnipresence means that he transcends not only space, but also time. God created time. The creator does not, the one who made this water bottle is not inside the water bottle, right? But he exists beyond this water bottle. The Holy Spirit exists outside of even the creation. And so God isn't just everywhere all at once. He's all at once everywhere. He is every when all the time. He's every when everywhere. He's in the past. He's in the present. And he's in your future. Think about it. And that is the power. That is the one, that is the person, the third person of the Trinity who resides in you. If that doesn't blow your, it's a miracle. We talk about the miracle of salvation. We talk about the miracle of justification. We talk about the miracle of being born again. It is a miracle that the God of the universe, who created all of this that we see, everything that was created through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. The book of John teaches us that. But yet he still loves us enough to develop and engage us and have a personal relationship and reside on the inside of us. And not only reside on the inside of us, but actually accomplish great things in us and through us. So he not only sees your present moment and circumstances, he sees your past, but even more awesome is that he sees your future. And here's the thing about our past. He graciously chooses to forget all of your sinful acts and deeds when you repent and plead the blood of Jesus over your life. He forgets them all. He casts your sins as far as the east, he blots them out. He chooses to remember those things no more. But last but not least, when you begin to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and learn to hear his voice, it's an exciting life to live, realizing that he has the best future plans for you. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I know the author of tomorrow. He has already wrote your story. The Word of God teaches me that your story has already been written. It's already been carved out. And so when we submit to him, when we follow what constitutes a person, Someone with a personality, right? Who has a mind, will, and emotions. So he has a will for you. And when we follow his will, it leads us into a path that is better than any path that we could ever come up with on our own. You can make your plans, but God orders the steps. And when God orders your steps, and when you're following his plan and his ways and his dreams and his ambitions for your life, man, can I tell you from experience, I know I haven't lived as many years as some of you in this room right now, but I can just say this. When I follow God's ways, it's worked out a whole lot better in my experience. I followed my ways and it ended me up in a pit. Come on. It ended me up in a place that I never wanted to. It ended me up in a place that I really never thought I would be. Because that's the deception of the enemy. Compromise after compromise after compromise. And before you know it, you wake up and you're in a place that you thought, wow, you don't even know who you are anymore. You're confused. You're distorted. I hear you, God. Short little illustration. I was worshiping in earlier in this service today. And there's so many people on the face of this earth that tries to deny the existence of God, right? Tries to deny the very existence of God. And you look at the proof. The proof's in the pudding, right? I mean, there's really, God is in everything. He's everywhere. You can't really deny God. It's just, people can try to, it's the enemy, it's a distraction, it's distortion, it's all of that. But even a distorted image, there's still a glimpse of God. And here's what I mean by this. I had my eyes closed. And we all know evil, darkness, you know, you can everywhere throughout scripture, darkness, you know, translated or is a picture of evil, right? And God is what? Light, right? We all on the same page? So I can close my eyes. I can close my eyes and there's all of these stage lights, right? Shining my direction. I can close my eyes and I can see, even though it's distorted, I can still tell that there's light hitting my eyes. You know what I mean. I can still tell that there's light. And so, listen, for years I tried to close my eyes. I tried to close my eyes and say, because I knew I was raised in church. I was raised in church. You know, I've said that before. I was drugged to church every time the church doors was open. I've heard anointed sermons all my life. I've been in Holy Ghost filled prayer meetings. I've been in knockout, drag out Pentecostal church services where, you know, everything under the world happened. I've seen it all, but we hadn't seen the best, I believe. I believe the best is still yet to come. But here's my point. My point is this. There, I went through a season of my life, even though I knew it all, right? I tried to deny it. I tried to close my eyes to it and said, well, yeah, I understand that, but I'm not ready to. But yet God was still, he was still there. And he was shining his light on me. But here's what he's waiting for you to do today. All he's waiting for you to do is open your eyes. If you'll just open your eyes to the truth, the Bible says the truth will make you free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I believe that with all of my heart. Greater is he that's within you than he that's of this world. The God who's on the inside of you, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He's in your future. He's already there. You don't have to fear your future because the God who holds the future is already there and your story is already written. Amen. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. God, I love you, Lord. Praise you, God, for who you are. God, I thank you that the power that lives inside of us, God, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond through the Spirit. God, through your Holy Spirit. God, I know, Lord Jesus, you're moving in this service right now. And God, I pray, Lord, that right now, Father, not our will, but your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's one under the sound of my voice, God, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that they come to you right now. I pray, God, that not a single person would leave here with fear, anxiety, depression, bondage. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would do a work in this house right now. Listen, we're about to open these altars, and you ain't got to wait on me. But one of three things. Number one, this worship team's going to lift up praise off this platform because God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. Number two, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So there's freedom to move. There's freedom to get out of your seat. There's freedom not to just sit still, not to just be stagnant, not to just sit there and say, well, I'll just wait and put it off till next Sunday. No, don't put off for tomorrow what needs to happen today. But number three, there's going to be an altar team up here, and I believe this altar team, as soon as I pray one more time, this altar team is going to be here, and they're going to meet you right where you are. They're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, but they're simply here to pray with you. And what is the altar call today? Number one, salvation. If you need salvation, don't leave here without receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Number two, restoration. You say, Pastor, you know what? It's been a long time since I've developed and engaged a relationship with God, but I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to re-engage with God today. I'm ready to be restored. Everything the enemy stole from me, I'm ready to be restored right now. And number three, specifically this, if you've got fear or if you've got anxiety about your future, this is what God laid on my heart. Somebody's got fear and anxiety about their future, but I serve a God who's omnipresent, and he's already in your future, and your story's already written. And I know the author of tomorrow is going to order your steps right now. I'm going to pray over you one more time. As soon as I pray, these authors are...
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.